sein.
Today we're going to begin with the topic of Hetera Bala. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, we've already discussed, but we'll briefly review since it's the basis of this Kula. Rav Amram asked Rosh Hashesh that there's a stira between two halachos. The Mishnah says, Hashfudim v'askelan melabnan ba'or, and that contradicts a Mishnah, a Brisa, that says, concerning Kadshim, Hashfod v'askelan mag'ilan b'chamin. So one source says you need Liban for a skewer, and one source says you need Hagala. So there are six answers in the Gemara. The two that we're going to focus on is the fourth answer of Rava. Rava says, Kadshim hainu taima kid Rav Nachman Amar Rava baravuad Amar kol yom v'yom nase giyo l'chaveiro. What does that mean? That in the case of Kadshim, even though it's tashmisho al yidei or, Hagala works. Why? Because kol yom v'yom nase giyo l'chaveiro. If I cooked achatas today, or I roasted a chatas today, and I use it again to cook a shlamim, so then the zman achila would be that of a shlamim. And then if tomorrow I do a shlamim again, then that would be also extended, and so on and so forth. So what's the idea here? So this we discussed when we did the sugi of not bar not and the like. The Rashba explains in Simen Tzadi Gimel that al yidei hagala, the tam habalua is niklash, and memela, a new shame iser will not be chal on it. What does that mean? That when you go ahead and you do hagala on the kli that's ton libun, so does it get rid of all the blios? No, there are some blios that are going to remain that could potentially come out in the future. Does it do nothing at all? Also no. Obviously it has some effect. What's the effect? It's maklisho, says the Rashba, but weakens it. And once it's in its weakened state, an iser will not be chal on it. So in the case of nosar, nosar is doesn't become nosar until after the zman achila passes, one day or 2 days. And therefore, as long as you did the hagalah before it became aser, while it was still mutter, so the iser will not be chal on it subsequently. And the Gemara gets into a problem. It says, if so, why do you even need to bother with Hagala at all? And it leaves off that answer with Akasha. But the Rashba says, even though the Gemara leaves off the answer as Akasha in terms of resolving the contradiction between the two sources, the idea of the Gemara is not refuted, and it's nevertheless accepted la halacha. So the halacha, what emerges from Rafa, is that if you do Hagala on a kli shaton libun that's considered hetera bala, we'll have to figure out what's hetera bala, but Kadshim is hetera bala before the zman achila has passed, or definitely basar or chalav is hetera bala. So in that case, even though the kli needs libun, hagala works. Then the final answer of the Gemara, the sixth answer, is Ravashi. Ravashi says, Liolam kadamar meikara hacha hetera bala, hacha isura bala. Ude kakasha lacha de baidna de kapala isura kapalet. Ba'idna de kapalet lo ise li sura be'ene. What does that mean? This is even more far-reaching. He says that since at the time that the blios were absorbed, it was heter. So, for example, when I roasted my karban shlamim or karban chatas, at that time the blios were heter. So then the hagala will always work. Hagala could work even if I do the Hagala 5 days later, after the blios have become nosar. So that's why Ravashi is going much further. Ravashi is saying, Hetera Bala, Hagala always works, as opposed to Rava, who said that Hetera Bala, Hagala works only if the Isser is not yet been Chal. According to Ravashi, even if the Isser was already Chal, since it was hetera bala, it's mutter. Now, at first glance, that answer makes no sense, which is why the Gemara refuted it the first time when Rav Shesha suggested it. But Ravashi says, no, an interesting idea, that since it was absorbed at a time that it was heter, and at a time that the Isser kicked in lo ise l'isuri be'enei. At that point, there was no mamasha shel iser. All there was blios of iser. So memela hagala suffices. It's not so clear why this should be. The way Rashi explains it is lo chamir isuro shekshenas enosar lo hafe iser be'enei shebetoch dofne hakli hayabalua umiolam lo hukar isuro. So whatever it is, this is more far-reaching. In other words, the nafkamina in terms of nosar would be, could I do agala 5 days after I roasted my shlamim? Right? According to Rava, no. And according to Ravashi, yes. Now, the Gemara does not refute Ravashi. At the same time, it's not the only answer given in the Gemara, so it's not 100% clear that we accept this. But that's the conclusion. Now, could be that there really isn't very much difference between these answers practically. One practical difference would have been chametz. If you assume that chametz is heter bala, and at first glance one would assume chametz is heter bala, after all, you're allowed to eat chametz the rest of the year, so it's mutter at the time of the bliya. So if you assume chametz is heter bala, and this is the view of many Rishonim, so then there would be a nafkamina between Ravashi and Rava as to whether you could do Hagala on a klishaton libun bePesach, right? Let's say I forgot to kasher my roasting pan before Pesach, and now it's Chol HaMoed, I want to roast a steak. So could I do Hagala on that roasting pan? So according to Rava, the answer is no, because right now it's Isser. If I wanted to do Hagala on my roasting pan before Pesach started, before, you know, Erev Pesach in the morning, that would have been okay. But now it's too late, now it's Isura. The Isser Chametz kicked in, and now I'd need Libun. Whereas if you held like Vashi, we would say no. Since it's a Terebal, I could still do Hagala. That would be the nafkamina between these two answers. But it's not going to be too practical, because we Paskin, as we'll see shortly, that Chametz is Isura Bala. And even though you might not have even used this roasting pan for a while, we're also Machmir for Nosin Tam Lefgam on Pesach, and therefore, you couldn't do Hagala on Pesach on the roasting pan. A, because anyway, even according to Rashi, maybe not, but certainly not not lahalacha. Okay, so this is an interesting discussion, but perhaps not so practical, not so lemaisa. Though we'll see that it does keep on coming back, because even though we paskin chametz is isur bala, and that we're machmir for nosin tam lefgam and the like, for all sorts of shilos, we throw in all sorts of snifim when there are other snifim lahako. Now, there's a raya from the psukim to the idea that this idea, this chiddush of Ravashi, that hetera bala. What's the raya from the psukim? The raya from the psukim is that if you look at the Parsha of Kachim, in Hechsher Kalim by Kachim, it doesn't mention Libun. Now, when Kachims are being roasted or cooked or the like, they use Eish, right? Things are roasted. And yet, the whole Parsha only mentions Mariko Shtifa, it only mentions Hagala. So why is that? So many of the Mefarshim point out that if you learn, like Ravashi, that in the case where it's nivla beheter, where it's heter bala, even if this man heter is passed, even if right now they should be aser, still Hagala works. That would explain why in the difference between the parsha of Hechsher Kalim by Kachim versus Hechsher Kalim by Chulin. When it comes to Hechsher Kalim of Klei Midyan, then we're dealing with Yisura bala, so the Torah says there's two forms of Hechsher you have to know about. You have to know about Hagala and Liban. But when it comes to the parsha of Hechsher Kalim by Kachim, since it's always a terabala, unless I guess you're dealing with something like a piggle or the like, but generally speaking, it's a terabala. So therefore, the only parsha, the only type of Hechsher Kli that's necessary to state is Hagala. Okay. Now, so what are the nafkaminas for a terabala? So number one, as we said, potential nafkaminas would be done. We don't have kachim any longer. So number one is basar b'chalav, and number two is chametz b'pesach. Oh. So If you look at the Rambam does not mention Dinei Libun in Hilchos Pesach. In Hilchos Pesach, he talks about the Dinim of Hashar Kelim, but he only talks about Hagala, not Libun. So L'chora, this is because the Rambam held that Chametz is a Terabala, and therefore, just like we brought a Raya from the Psukim for the position of Ravashi, we could bring a Raya that the Rambam holds like Ravashi, and the Rambam also holds that Chametz is heterabala, and therefore, or I guess that might work for Rav as well, but I guess if you wanted a kasher and Pesach, then it would have to be true entirely, that Chametz is heterabala. And that's why there's no mention of Libun in Hilchos Pesach. Now, if you look at Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, Ayin Vav Amud Beis, Dibur Maschil Amar, Tosfos asks a stira between two sources concerning the hechsher of knives. The Gemara Psachim Lamed Amud Beis says that you could kasher knives through Hagala, and the Gemara in Chulin Ches Amud Beis says that Sakin Shel Ovdei Kochavim Milavna Ba'or, and that implies that you need Libun. So how do we resolve it? Again, one source that says knives need Hagala, that's for Pesach. One source that says knives need Libun. So there are basically three answers to this question in the Rishonim. Two are mentioned by Tosfos. The first answer, Tosfos says, is that Sakine de Pischa Haterabala. So it's very good. Really, fundamentally, you should need Libun. Why? Sometimes people use knives al-Ha'ish. We don't really use our knives so much this way. But let's say you wanted to, you know, you were at a campfire and you wanted to roast your hot dog. So you might stick your hot dog into your knife and put it in the fire. So that would be a tashmisho al yadei. Or that knife should really need libun. If it was a treif height, if it was a treif knife, you'd need to do libun. If you wanted a treif hot dog, you need to do libun. But if it's breakfast and you make your toast that way also, you put your piece of bread on the knife and you stick the knife in the fire, that's how you make your toast. So that's heterabala. Great. So you could do hagala. That's Tosfos's first answer. It's in a couple of places. Actually, one of them is Avodah Zarah Ayin Vav Amud Beis Dibur Maschil Amar. Also in Psachim. I think also in Psachim. Then Tosfos gave another answer from Rabbeinu Tam. It's also in, again, Tosfos in Psachim is Lamed Amud Beis Dibur Maschil Am Helchosa. That the case of Psachim is, I guess, you know, practically another way where you might theoretically have... we might have Tashmishu al Yidei Ha'esh in our present world. I was wondering about this recently, is that sometimes when you're roasting meat or baking meat, so you want to cut open like a little sliver to see if it's done. Is it red on the inside? Is it still juicing or oozing? So you might open up your oven, stick your knife into the oven while the oven's on, fire's still there, and cut it at that point. So that might be an example of where our knives would be used al ha'esh, that's not at a camping trip. Now, you might have said, by the way, that, well, maybe it's tashmish al yidei ha'or even if you take it out of the oven, because there's no liquid. But we don't assume that. We assume that you don't need liquid. The only time you need libun is if it's mamish al ha'esh. So therefore, when you take it out of the oven and you cut your meat, even if it's still in the kli rishon, and even if there's no liquid, that knife would surely suffice with hagala, even though it's not in a boiling pot of water. So the only time you would need libun, mikra adin, on your knife is if it's mamish in the fire. So either you use it to roast your hot dog in the fire, or again, you cut your meat inside the oven under those circumstances. That's the first answer of Tosfos, heterabala versus isurabala. Obviously, that answer assumes that chametz is considered heterabala. Rabbeinu Tam, though, gives another answer. He says that the case of Psachim is talking about sakinim ktanim, shein aderech litzlos bahem, and the case of Chulin is talking about long knives that you roast on. Very simple. What's the idea? The idea is that some knives are used on the fire and some knives aren't, and that's the resolution to the contradiction. Now, l'chora, the two answers of Tosfos are dependent upon this question. Do you see chametz as heterabala or isurabala? So the first answer of Tosfos obviously assumes chametz as heterabala, And Rabbeinu Tam assumes chametz is isur rabbanan. He holds the position that we mentioned earlier in the year of the Ramban, that because chametz shmo alav the whole year, so it's considered isur rabbanan. In other words, isur rabbanan here, according to this view, according to the Ramban, does not mean isur. There's no doubt chametz today is not usur. Rather, what does it mean? It means that it has a shem chametz, meaning to say, as opposed to nosar, where it's not like premature nosar before the zman is passed. It's simply not nosar at all. It's kachim, and it only becomes nosar once the zman is passed. When it comes to chametz, so it has a shem chametz the whole year. I think the Rav said, the haraya, we have dine chametz by kachim. There's a nisar chametz in the mikdash the whole year for most menachos. So therefore, chametz is considered isur abala, even though, again, the words isur abala aren't precise. It means shmo alav. Okay. So that's the machlokas. Now this brings us to a very interesting discussion in the Shulchan Aruch about libun kal. So where is this idea of libun kal come from? So the Mordechai in Avodah Zarah, Sofsim and Taf Taf Samach, which is cited in the Beis Yosef, Tafnan Aleph Sif Dalad, that a kli that has absorbed basar o chalav, even if tashmishu al dehaor, ein sarach libun gadol ad shetasir kli paso, all you need is that it be yad soledes bo mishne evareha, or shakash nisraf bo. Now, apparently, kash is nisraf, what did you say it was? 350? 250 to 300. Now, yad soledes bo is a little bit less than that, right? Probably around 180 or so. So he's giving two shiurim here, either yad soledes bo mishnei evreha or kash nisraf. In a way, it sounds like he's saying, we'll see, some might disagree, but the simple reading is what it means is as follows. Either if you know that it's yad soledes bo on both sides, that suffices, or if you can't check on both sides, but you know on one side the kash is nisraf bo, so then you could assume that the other side is sufficiently hot, is yad soledes bo. Right? Now, this is something that you could check. For example, we don't usually have so much kash handy, but the mumchim say that if you take, let's say, a tissue and you put it on a surface that you're trying to do libun kal on, so if the tissue starts to burn, which it will, if it's hot enough, take a tissue and put it up to a light bulb, you'll see it will burn. So if the tissue burns, so then you know the temperature of libun kal has been reached. So that's what this idea is. Now, what is this idea of libun kal? So the Mordechai says that this type of libun is lo gara mehagala, v'humaflit yoser mehagala. So it sounds like we've come up with a new category of hachsher, right? Because again, we're talking here about something, let's say, that you cooked in, a pot that you cooked milk in, right, mamish? Kli rishon, you cooked milk in, and now you go ahead and you heat this pot up to the temperature of kash nisraf bo, so now the milk is, now the pot is part of it. It's no longer milchix. That's what the Mordechai says. So this is a new type of hechsher. It's a very big chiddush. You can make up a new type of hechsher. But he says it's lo gara mehagala, and maybe even better than hagala, whatever exactly that means. Now, the Rama in Sif Dalad discusses it in terms of chametz. The Rama writes, v'yesh mekilim in nislabin kolkach. This is kelim shetashmisham shemishtam shemem alidea or kegon shvudim asklos yosei behem srichen libun v'alibun atchiye nitzotzos nitzin mehem. Right, so the Mechaber says that in Sif Dalad, that like we said, the temperature for libun is so hot that the sparks are flying. And that's what would be needed for shvod. In other words, we're assuming, the Mechaber is assuming, that chametz is isur bala. Haga, v'yesh mekilim im nislabin kolkach shekash nisraf alav mibachotz. There are some that are mekel, as long as it reaches this level, what we're going to call libun kal, kash nisraf. Now the question is, what is, who are these yesh mekilim? And you could understand this line really in two ways. One way to read this line is V'yesh mekilim im nislabin kol kach shekash nisraf alav, means that there's some who hold that libun kal has the same status as libun chamor. In other words, this yesh omrim says, no, you don't need the shear of nitzotzos nitzin. All you need is kash nisraf. That's an interesting point. Gemara says nitzotzos nitzin, but that's one way to read this yesh omrim. Alternatively, you could read this yesh omrim as saying, no, yesh mekilim, that in chametz it's enough to have libun kal. Why? Because this yesh mekilim is basically saying what? Chametz is hetera bala. And therefore, even though you use this pan al ha'esh to cook chametz, you could do hagalah, you could do a libun kal to kasher it, because chametz is hetera bala. Now, of course, according to that opinion, you would actually even be able to do hagalah, right? But this is like a pshara. Well, we're not going to go so far as to allow you to do hagalah on chametz, because we're choshish that chametz is isura bala, but we'll let you get away with libun kal. Now, that's a strange pshara, because if you think that nobody is of the opinion that libun kal is equivalent to libun gamor, so then if you think chametz is isura bala, you should need libun gamor. And if you think it's a hetera bala, you should get away with hagala. But maybe this yesh mekilim is a pshara that based off of the tzad in the Mordechai, that this is a little better than Hagalah. Not clear what it means. And therefore, since maybe it's a Tera Bala, and Imtim Tzolomer, it's not a Tera Bala, well, this is still a little better than Hagalah, so some type of interesting pshara. So what's the pshat here? So let's just finish the Ramah. The Ramah continues. The Nog in Kesfar Rishona, now as we paskin like the opinion of the Mechaber, that you need sotzos nitzin, you need libun gamor. B'chol davar shadino b'libun. Aval davar shadino b'hagala v'chule. If you really think that hagala is sufficient, rak shiyesh bo stakim, o shemachmirin l'labno, then sagi b'libun kalkaza. So the Ramah says that we are going to allow you to get away with libun kal in one of two situations. Situation number one is yesh bo stakim. Now that makes sense. What's stakim? Stakim are, it has cracks, and there's a concern that when there are cracks in a kli, little bits of be'en will fall into the cracks, and we know that hagala doesn't work on be'en. So here, this conclusion of the Ramah makes a lot of sense. Really, I could tell you that libun kal is not any better than Hagalah with respect to blios, but it does have an advantage with respect to be'en, namely that it burns up any be'en. For example, if you put your toast in the toaster, so the toaster doesn't get to be that hot, right? But still, your toast will turn black. And if you leave your toast in there for long enough, it probably will be totally burnt up. So the point is that libun kal has one certain advantage over hagala, namely it will burn up be'en, at least given enough time, and then it has a second potential advantage over hagala, that maybe it's better than hagala in some mysterious way. So the first point that the Ramah says is very easy to understand. He says, any time you're supposed to do Hagalah on a kli, but you can't do Hagalah on a kli because there's a crack, right? And this is very common. Let's say there's an actual crack, or between the handle and the kli is a crack, or between the knife and the knife blade there's a crack, all sorts of things of that sort. So then the Ramah is saying, okay, since it's dino behagala, except that hagala won't work because there's a crack, so then do libun kal and you're set. That ruling of the Ramah is very easy to understand. But then again, there's his second ruling, which once again is mysterious. He says, oh, shemachmir and lalabno. What does that mean? That means that we're talking about a case where really, me'ikar adin, you think that hagala is enough. But there's a chumrah to require libun. We have a number of examples of that, where really mikra din we think hagala suffices, but there's a chumra to require libun. One example of that is chatsuva, according to the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Lamedalet, not like the chayadam, the grates. Another example, we'll see the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Mem Ches is rov tashmisha. We'll talk about that shortly, but the Mishnah Berurah holds that mikra din one could be mekel on rov tashmisha, but we're machmir to be choshish for the opinions that you have to be choshish for miyot tashmisho. But if it's rov tashmisho b'mayim and miyot tashmisho aydei ha'or, so again, then we see libun as a chumran. You can get away with libun kal. Another example is machvas. That's in Darkei Moshe Sif Katan Zayin. He says that, again, there's a debate. We'll talk about it shortly, about whether machvas is something that requires hagala or something that requires libun. So that's where machmir, not to rely on hagala, l'chatchila, but since we see it as a chumra, we let you get away with libun kal. Those are three examples. Where, again, where the Ramah says this interesting idea, that yes, we're machmir, and we don't say you could do hagala, we require libun, but we let you get away with libun kal. So the question again is, how do you understand the logic of this pshara? Right? I don't understand this pshara. Because if you think that hagala is really no, libun kal is no better than hagala, what have you accomplished by being machmir and yet relying on libun kal? So, the simplest solution to this is the way I would have read the Ramah, is to say no. The Yesh Omrim that the Ramah cites holds that libun kal always works, even b'makom shaton libun gamor. Is there any basis for that in the Rishonim? So if you look at the Hagos Maimon, quoted in the Beis Yosef, it sounds like that might be the case. It's not clear, but he quotes Rav Avigdor, Dikshemilabnan ad sheim yasim alav kash yunitzotos nitzin mimenu sagi behachi dimlokein osa tirfa belashon yoshidim labnin ba osa kedei lafos tachtea pladon. So it sounds like he's saying that libun kal works entirely. And then the Ramah works very straightforward. The Mechaber says you need libun gamor. The Ramah says yesh omrim you need libun kal. Who's that yesh omrim? Rav Avigdor. And the Ramah concludes, well, if we're talking about something that mikra din needs libun gamor, then you shouldn't be so nechanat shita. Do libun gamor. But if you think that libun is only a chumra, so then you could be so nechan Rav Avigdor and rely on libun kal. That's the way I would have read it. But it's not the way any of the Mefarshim read it, more or less, that I found, including the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkatan, Lamed, and Lamed Beis. They all explain that there is no such opinion, and it's not clear that even the Hagos Maimonios holds this. And Avi pointed out, if you look at the Darkei Moshe, it doesn't sound this way either. And anyway, it's like a very Peladic possibility that libun kal should work. After all, if the Gemara gives you a shear of nitzotzot nitzin, how could you just do away with that shear and make up your own shear, which is much less, namely kash nisva? And therefore, they understand that this yesh omrim just means basically chametz is hetera bala. And then the Ramah is saying, okay, yesh omrim chametz is hetera bala, in which case, really, Hagala would work, and Hu Adin Libun Kal. And then he says you should only be Sameich on it when you think Libun is a Chumra. But again, it's a strange Pshara, because if you think that Libun Kal is no better than Hagala, at least leaving aside the issue of Ben, but with respect to Blios, it's no better, then what have you accomplished? So you have to say that the Ramaz thinks that this is a little better than Hagala. Like the Mordechai says, it's a little better. And therefore, since it's a little better, even though we won't let you get away with Hagala, we'll let you get away with Libun Kal. One way to understand it, I don't really have a raya to this, but one way to understand it might be that Libun Gamor works, as we said before, based off of the Ra'ah, and Rav Moshe by being soreif es ablios b'makoman. And that's why it works even for things that the blios will never leave, like klicheres. Whereas libun kal is lekuleyam as maflet es ablios v'sarfam. Right? In other words, libun kal causes the blios to leave, and then it burns them, they burn up in the air. It's therefore more similar to Haggalah. And therefore, everybody's going to agree it doesn't work for libun, for cheres. Why? Because cheres is enu yotzei midei dofei liolam. So memela, libun kal can never work for cheres. Ma she'en kein, if you're talking about, and there, that's why we're machmir also, that it doesn't work for something that's tam libun. Why? Because those blios are more entrenched, and they don't come out, just like they wouldn't come out through Haggalah, they don't come out through this. So, therefore, if they're not nisraf b'makomo, you're stuck. Ma she'en kein, if it's something that the blios easily leave, like something that's ta'on Haggalah, then we'll certainly do it. And maybe it's even a little stronger, because it doesn't just, it's not just mevatel, the blios in the water, but it's sarfam. Okay. The Shaar Tzion says, L'maisa, in the end of the day, this is Sifkat Lamed Zayin, that if it's Eno Ben Yomo Hefsin Meruba, Yesh Lahakel Belibun Kal. So this idea, again, of relying on Chametz being Hetera Bala to use Libun Kal, so we do sometimes bring it up. Again, Eno Ben Yomo Hefsin Meruba. So then you could be Makel on Libun Kal. Okay, now what exactly is the temperature for Libun Kal? So the Taz in Sifkat and Ches and the Magen Avram a little later on both say that all you need is Yadzo lettuce bow on both sides. And Rabbi Kiviger on this Taz is on this halacha is medayiket from that the Taz and the Magen Avram don't think that fundamentally you need the shear of Kash Nisraf, right, which we said is, let's say, 300. But 250, 300, but rather all you need is Yad Soled Espo, which is 180. However, the Prima Gadim says no, the shear is Kash Nisraf. And Ribki Vegar himself and a different Ribki Vegar wonders why Magen Avraham and Taz are Makel. But at the same time, when you look at the sources, it really does sound like the Magen Avraham and the Taz, that all you really need is Yad Soled Espo. So, the minhaga olam is to say that for libun kal you need 400 or 500 degrees. According to Yosef's research, you should only need 300 degrees, even according to the Prima Gadim and the Machmirim. And if you hold like the Taz and the Magen Avraham, like the Mekilim, all you'll need is to heat up your oven to 200 degrees. Now that's a very important point, because let's say you have something that you can't go ahead and that requires Haggalah, but you can't do Haggalah on for various reasons, or it's complicated to Haggalah on it, right? Like a pot with a handle or a pot cover, because there's screws and there are cracks and there's places where there's ben and you don't want to take apart your pot and unscrew it and the like. So Haggalah is very difficult on a pot with handles and cracks. So you could do Libun Kal. Now the problem with doing Libun Kal is that not every pot, let's say your pot has plastic handles, certainly can't withstand Libun Gamor, but it can't even withstand, let's say, a 400 degree oven. So the shear that many poskim say you should do Libun Kal at 400 is really something that will prevent your ability to do Libun Kal on many things, like pots. I remember for my pots, so I once put them in the oven, not to kasher it. I forgot to heat something up before Shabbos. And it was like 15 minutes before Shabbos. So I figured I'll just put it into the oven for like 400 degrees. It was in the pot for like 10, 15 minutes. And turn off the oven right before Shabbos, and hopefully that would do the trick. The plastic started to burn, or melt. I don't know, it didn't seem to ruin the pot, but the house smelled like burning plastic, because it had a plastic pot handle that's hot. So you can't really do, on certain pots, you couldn't do Libun Kal, at 400 degrees. But almost all pots could easily withstand probably 300, but certainly 200 degrees. Any pot, even with a plastic handle, will do just fine at 200 degrees. So we asked Rav Willig this question, and he said, yeah, he agreed that if you go ahead and you leave it in, now you need to leave it in for a long time, because since your reason why you're doing this Liban Kal is to make sure that you burn up any Be'en, so you need to make sure that it's in there long enough for the Be'en to burn. But this would be a good Eitza anytime you need it. Or another possibility is, let's say, you wanted to do Liban Kal on a pot, not a frying pan, but a pot that has Teflon in it, right? So again, a pot fundamentally you could probably do, let's assume it's a pot that you could do Hagala on, but you don't want to do Hagala because there's big cracks from where the handles are, so you want to do Liban Kal. But again, the Teflon can't withstand, you're not supposed to put it in at such a high temperature. So I spoke to Rav Neuberger about this yesterday, and he said that I said, could you just, let's say you're concerned even at 300 degrees, could you put it in at 200 degrees for 2 hours? What I asked Rav Willig. Rav Willig said yes. So he says, well, it's hard to know. There's two things. One is, how do you know you could be machriya against the Prima Gadim? He was unsure how we would be machriya in that case. He said, the second thing is, you have to be mevarer that all surfaces actually reach the Yad Soled Espo, the 200 degrees. Notice he thought it's possible that some surfaces are heat resistant, and if you put them in the oven, even if the oven is 250 degrees for 2 hours, it doesn't mean that surface reaches 250 degrees. So he said you have to ask some engineers to be mevarer of that. What do you think?
If it's all metal, I can't see.
No, but let's say Teflon, it's plastic.
Teflon's cold.
So you're saying it's
Teflon powder?
Teflon pot. Well, the Teflon pot is just a coating.
Yeah.
You think it's unlikely.
If you can cook something in the pot, then it's not so resistant. Ah,
that's a good hara. That's a good point. Okay.
If you may put a little oil in there, the oil will heat up it. The oil will heat up the Teflon.
Uh-huh.
But what about the plastic handle?
No, so that's a point. Right, well,
the
plastic handle.
The rubber handle.
Right. So will the rubber handle heat up to 200 degrees? So that's what you have to be in the air. If that's what he thought, you have to check if it really happened. I sort of assume that if you have something in a 250 degree oven for 2 hours, al karchecha, the handle would become. I know that with my pots, if you put them in with the plastic handles, if you put it on in the oven and you take it off, even like 10 minutes later after you take it out of the oven, if you touch that plastic handle, you'll burn your hands. So it's quite clear that, at least with my pots, the plastic handles reach Yad Soled Espo. I don't want to extrapolate from my pots to all pots, but.
So for these types of pot covers or handles that have like the screws and the cracks, this is only an issue for chametz, which is aser b'mashu, or even
no
regular iser. Could we then apply the rashba of a pot that is always used to shefa for this type of thing?
As a sniff. I mean, what you're saying, I mean, what do you want to do? Some iser went in?
If we just do hagala on this knife or whatever, but the likelihood of anything I'm cutting with compared to the iser in there.
Well, it's not going to be true for a knife. Now, it happens to be, right, so as we saw, we're machmir, we don't rely on hishtamshus b'shefa, but maybe as a sniff, again, you have to sort of figure out what the chances of there being any crumbs or whatever, mashahus, and how much it is, and what could have come out. But I think that is a relevant challenge. Usually for our situations, it's not so common. Why? Because we don't usually buy used pots anymore. So how does something become treif? So usually it's a one-time mess-up. So I don't know if it was a one-time mess-up, you use your milchik spatula on your fleishik frying pan, if now you all of a sudden have to be choshesh for pieces of be'en in between the pan and the handle.
So very often even these ones with cracks and screws we can just tell.
So,
them.
Right,
okay.
Right. We'll get to that question more in detail yet later, but yeah, I think if one can reasonably assume with confidence that there's no mamasha shel iser in the crack, so then it would be okay. And the reason why the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesach is talking about something they use all the time. And there, of course, you have to assume that anything you use all the time will have be'en that fell into the cracks. But if, you know, it was a one-time mess-up, I don't know if you automatically have to assume that.
Then what would be okay? Hagalah, or?
Right. Right. Well, we'll talk. We'll expand on that. But yes.
If you use the pan all the time and it just has stamina mushrooms in the crack, and then you trade for the pan, doesn't the mushrooms also going to end up getting tripped up?
Well, it depends. It depends how, but potentially.
So then you want to take that mushrooms out. So
yes.
When you said right now that you don't have to be cautious, so you can not have you can have stuff there already.
You're saying like this. Let's say it's a fleishig frying pan and. Yeah. I use a Vilchik spatula. So now we assume that the onions became Bas B'chalav. And then we're choshesh that the frying pan became Bas B'chalav. And now, in that frying pan, in Meila, there's cracks in between the frying pan and the handle. So that Bas B'chalav was Nivla into the Mamashas. Maybe we'll say no. That assuming that the crack is outside of the pan, so ein b'lo yotiv lo rotev, so it's blios of chalav, right? That's what you're concerned about because it's a milchika spatula.
Yeah.
So the no, because it's from a kli. So the blios enter the frying pan and then they go into the crack, and then they will then trafe up the crack.
The mamashes in the crack,
and therefore we would once again have to assume. That there's a problem. So you couldn't just rely on Hagalah and that frying pan because you'd have to be Choshesh. You'd want to do Liban Kal because assuming that Hagalah or Liban Kal would be enough, we're going to talk about that in a moment, but assuming that you would be Mekel for Hagalah and Liban Kal, you wouldn't want to do Hagalah because of the crack. You would actually, since you don't want to take apart your frying pan, then you would have to. You'd have to do Liban Kal to get rid of, to be concerned about mushrooms. I think that makes sense. Okay, good. We'll get to that in just a moment. Okay. It is interesting, by the way, if you, just parenthetically, if you assume that, like the lenient opinion, that you always really only need Yad Soledis Bo for Liban Kal. So if you simply had an empty pan, a metal pan, let's say, and you put it on the fire for like a minute or two, and then you turned off the fire, then your whole pan will have easily reached Yad Soledis Bo. Not the handles, that won't work for the handles, but let's say it was a pot without handles. You don't actually need water for Hagala anymore. It probably also reaches Yad Nisra, but with that I don't know.
10 minutes, then the handles be less.
No, not at all. It depends on the handles, but there are lots of handles that you could cook forever, and they're meant to be. The heat doesn't transfer to the handles. You could take pots off the stove that have been there for a long time without gloves because the handles are heat resistant.
Some handles. I mean.
Yeah, it depends, obviously, yeah. But oh, now. This is just parenthetically relating to what we pointed out last year. That's one of the reasons studim lahakel for ovens, kashering ovens, right? So one tzad is like we said that it's you think that you could do kabolo kachpalto for liban. The second tzad is that the ovens only became aser al yidei zeya, and zeya liban kal would work. Okay, fine. So let's talk about Rov Tashmisho. So the Tur in Sivvav quotes the Ravya, who says that what's the halacha if you usually use something with water in it, but every so often you don't? So what's the halacha? So he quotes the Ravya as and Tosfos, I think, in Avodah Zarah, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, that were Machmir. The Rif though, in Psachim Chesem Beis B'Dal Pi Arif says that for something, for example, that you usually use as a kli sheni, but every so often might be a kli rishon or iroi, then you could do kli sheni or iroi. Now there's rov tashmisho. And that's the way the Ran explains the Rif, that since rov tashmishan is b'kli sheni, kli sheni there really means iroi kli sheni, iroi kli rishon, so therefore you could be machshir al yidei iroi. And this is really the same issue that comes up again in the same Tosfos that we mentioned before about the knives. That the Riva says that even sakinim ketanim need libun, because every so often you use them to like flip the meat on the grill. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that's not considered tashmisho al dehaor for these small knives, because that's not tashmisho bofen kavua, that's just unusual usage. So b'kitzur, we have a machlokas rishonim, whether you could rely on rov tashmisho, or you have to be choshesh for miyot tashmisho. And in Simen Taf Nun Aleph Siv Vav, the mechaber is mekel, that we follow rov tashmisho. So the l'chora, this is a very big chiddush to be mekel. First of all, there's no explicit makor in Shas for this idea, that you could follow rov tashmisho. Now, the Rishonim held that there was a sort of a proof from Shas, because if you assume that the Heshtamshus Bisman Chazal was the same as Heshtamshus Bisman Rishonim, and yet it said that when it comes to cups or knives or the like, you could do Hagalah or Iroy or the like, so then the Gemara is implying that we follow Rov Tashmisho. But the question, the bigger question is, you know, why shouldn't it be? Right? What's the reason for this kula of rov tashmisho? So there's two possible answers to this question. The mainstream view is in the Rashba, quoted in our siman in Taf Nun Aleph, and it's spelled out explicitly by the Rama Mipano, and that is that we only rely on rov tashmisho for a kli she'eino ben yomo. And what's the idea? The idea is very simple. Really, kli she'eino ben yomo, you don't need a kasher at all. There's a chumrah midrabanan to kasher, even a kli she'eino ben yomo, eino ben yomo, atu ben yomo. However, with respect to that chumrah midrabanan, they were makel, and they said, well, if it's eino ben yomo and rov tashmisha was something that required a lower level hechsher, whether that's hagalah or iroy or the like, then you could follow rov tashmisho. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, zifkata memvav, that if you know that you use the miyot tashmish within 24 hours, then everybody would agree you can't rely on rov tashmisho. Now, why is it? What's the lumdus of this kula? Could you say, okay, kia gavna lo tiknu? Rav Moshe, in the Igros Moshe, Orachaim Chela Ke Simen Lamed Aleph, writes a little bit of a more precise Hagdara. He writes that this is not included in the Gzeira of Kli She'enu Ben Yomo Atu Ben Yomo, because when we're Mekel, because why? Because it won't lead to an error. Now, why will it not? What's the reason why we're Machmir for Kli She'enu Ben Yomo? We're afraid that people get confused. If you use this Treif Kli, that's Enu Ben Yomo, for kosher food, so people will get confused and they'll start using it even if it's ben yomo. But that won't happen in this case. Why? Because people think of a kli in terms of rov tashmisho. And therefore, since it's rov tashmisho, it will be okay. Now, Rav Moshe writes, this makes sense, because the iser hishtamshus b'kli she'eno ben yomo is not a din in the chetza, it's not a din in the kli, it's a din in the gavra. That it's aser to be mishtamesh in a kli she'eino ben yomo atu ben yomo. What's the proof? The proof is that they weren't machmir for food. They were only machmir on the pot. So you see that it's a din in the gavra. And that being the case, he says, it makes sense that in a case like this, where people won't get confused, that they would be meiko.
Is
there a motion? Chela ke of Or Chaim, Simen Lamed Aleph. Okay. It's that's like Haros and Simon Tufnan Aleph. I think it's the last one. Okay.
Wait, what's in Mosad again?
Simon Lamed Aleph. If you take a look at Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, again, Ayin Vav in the Beis Din Masel Amar, it doesn't really sound that way. That's what Avi pointed out. It sounds, there's no, as opposed to the Rashba, who, when he says the Kula of Rov Tashmisho, he explicitly mentions Eino Ben Yomo, Tosfos makes no such mention. Rabbeinu Tam Omer, Dezeino Karui Tashmisho Ide Ha'or, Kevan De'ein Tashmish Kavu Ide Ha'or, Sagi Bahagala, and no requirement that this leniency only be relied upon if it's Eino Ben Yomo. So if we assume that, at least to some Rishonim who hold of this Kula of Rov Tashmisho, like Rabbeinu Tam or Meikel, even if it's Ben Yomo, then Hadra Kashila Duchta, what possible explanation can we give to explain how the Heter of Rov Tashmisho applies? So maybe the answer is based off of the Chakira that we talked about yesterday, namely, that the Dinei Hechsher are all Talui in the category. Right? So if it's Tashmisho Ide Ur, it needs Liban. If it's Tashmisho Bechamin, you need Hagala, etc. And the category is determined by the majority usage. You'll say, well, still, it doesn't make any sense. Lamaisa, there are Blios here, right? So you're going to taste the Blios. So you have to say that Hechsher Kalim is Exer Sakasov. We mentioned this yesterday, the Chazanish's point, that Hechsher Kalim Hagala isn't even a Svara per se, because it might not actually get out 100% of the Blios, he assumes. But it's Exer Sakasov, and the truth is, Avi pointed out to me, that's the Mashmos of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kol Asher Yavo Ba'esh, Taviru Ba'esh, right? What does it mean, Kol Asher Yavo? It doesn't say, Im Nishtamish Ba'esh, Yavo Ba'esh. It says, Kol Asher Yavo. In other words, we're defining the Kli. If this is a Kli, that's Yavo Ba'esh. Right? Yavo is Lashon, is a future tense, but it's probably Hoveh Tamid, as Rashi points out in a number of places, right? Like Kacha Yase Iov. So that doesn't mean Yase in the future, but Hoveh Tamid. Fine. So Kol Asher Yavo Ba'esh means if it's a type of Kli that's used in the fire. So the Pasuk itself implies that we look at the category and we follow the category, and the category is determined by Rov Tashmisho. Now, you could ask, what about if Rov Tashmisho is Bitzonein? So maybe you'd say, no, that's not a category of Hechsher. That might go back to how you read those Pesukim in that Ramban. Anyhow, if you follow this view, this understanding that we're saying that the basis of the Heter of Rov Tashmisho is categories, so it would explain why we're not Choshish for Davar Charif. Because if you say that the whole Kula of Eino is based off of it being Eino Ben Yomo, right, really the Blios remain in it, and they don't go away. But we're Somech on Eino Ben Yomo, so then L'chora, there should be a problem every time you use a Davar Charif. And especially if you assume, the Rashba, that Charif is a Din D'Oraisa, maybe. Now, the Rashba sort of comes out that you wouldn't be choshesh that there are lots of Dvarim Charifim L'chal Yolei L'Shvach if you think it's a D'Oraisa. Might only be Chiltus. But still, L'maisa, the way we at Paskin, that we're choshesh that all sorts of things are Mechalia, Dvarim Pegumim, L'Shvach, even when it's Eino Ben Yomo, so if you think that the whole Heter of Rov Tashmisho is based off of it being Eino Ben Yomo, so it's shver to actually apply the Kula of Rov Tashmisho, since practically people use Dvarim Charifim all the time. So again, it's not a pircha. We'll say, well, okay, that too is a din d'rabbanan. But if you say this other pshat, that it's a din in categories, then we don't care, because still it's a category, we follow Rov. But Lamaisa, Ladina, we would never, I don't think, we would follow the psak of the Mishnah Berurah that I said before. We practically would never rely on the Kula of Rov Tashmisho if it's Ben Yomo. Now, all this is, again, within the view of the Mechaber. The Ramah in Sifvav writes that the minhag is to be machmir lahachshir even lefimia tashmisho. And even if you don't know that it's nishtamesh latasha shachamor, if it's something that's likely that might have been used, so then the Ramah says we're machmir. So if you take a look at Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Mem Zayin, he writes that b'diavad you could be makel for the view of the mechaber. So for example, if you already cooked food in a kli that was koshered al yedei rov tashmisho, so then you could be makel b'diavad. Or if the kli would get wrecked unless you relied on a kula of rov tashmisho, so then maybe you could be makel. So that's an important kula. The Mishnah Berurah Mem Ches writes, what if rov tashmisho is for bishul and mir tashmisho is aydei ha'or? So we said the Ramah is machmir to do libun. So he says you could do libun kal. Now, we said before, l'chora, according to the what we said before, the understanding of rov rishonim, that that view in the Ramah of libun kal, when libun is only a chumrah, should only apply to Pesach, right? So it's an interesting question that, because the Mishnah Berurah sounds like a little bit that maybe you could rely on this all the time, right? That you could rely on libun kal, you could be mistarif rov tashmisho plus libun kal. Well, is that going to only be true for Pesach, where libun kal works because it's probably hetera bala? Or will that apply to shari surim? So that would go back to our discussion that we had earlier. So relying on rov tashmisho plus libun kal might depend on whether you think might distinguish between chametz and shari surim. Fine. The Ramah said that you have to be choshesh for mia tashmisho. So the Chassam Sofer, Yoredeya Sof Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, writes in Shuvos that you don't have to be choshesh for mia tsheino shchiach. In other words, when the Ramah writes that you don't even remember that you used this for, let's say, the tashmish chamor, but if it's shchiach, you have to worry about it. But you don't have to, like, be concerned, like some far-fetched possibility that, you know, you once did something that was really weird. If you remember you did it, then we would be machmir. But if it's lo shchiach and you don't remember doing it, you could assume that you didn't do it. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about,
just to clarify, I might have mentioned this before, but so for according to the Ramah, they have to be machmir lechachila. So you have to do, well, two types of
No, well, if you do the chamor hechsher, no, if you do libun works in place of hagala. Anything you do libun on, certainly if it's libun chamor, it's totally kashered. And if you think libun kal would be enough, so that would also do it, right? So you just need to do the more chamor one. Okay, yeah.
If you use the pot with milchik, and then a different pot you cooked meat in it. So do you have to be worried that?
Yeah.
According to the quote of Mishnah Berurah, at least for Pesach, shouldn't everyone agree you can kosher an oven with it? Rov tashmisho is definitely aydei
zeh.
Okay, so something spills. That's not the rov tashmisho.
That's a good vert. Saying, why is Rav Moshe so machmir about ovens? Rav Moshe, as we mentioned, says you can't, you need to do libun gamor in an oven for Pesach. That's why people get inserts and the like. So, why do you need to do libun gamor for your oven? Rov tashmisho is aydei zeh. And Elamai, once in a while, something might spill. So, okay. So we're Mekel on Rav Tashmisho plus Heter Bala to require only Liban Kal. I don't know. Yeah, what do you think?
Meaning Lashina says Moshe, that's going to work, but once you go, if you're going to be more Mekel and Zeya, so then you know I'm going to have a Tashmisha.
What do you mean?
If you're going to be Mekel and Zeya like a Shechter,
you're going to kosher anyway. You're going to kosher anyway.
No.
We're still.
He's saying like this.
Anyway,
that's not a Tashmish. No, in other words, the only...
It doesn't matter because you can cook matzah in your oven on Pesach. It's not going to be trif.
No, what he's saying is we don't count Tashmish Shel Heter to the row. That's what Yossi's saying.
So what?
So now, you've only used your oven three times, all of it for trif. So that row of Tashmish Shel is trif.
According to Shechter, your oven would be trif. Who cares?
You're right, so you could still use it, but what if you... But what you're saying, what about Zeya? Zeya is taken care of. I asked Rav Willig this question, before, not exactly this question, before Pesach. I said, I think at the Willig family, they use an oven insert on Pesach. So I said, according to Rabbi Shita, who follows Rav Moshe, but he thinks basically everything is dry, so why couldn't you just, you know, don't cook anything open, wet in the oven on Pesach, and then you're fine. In other words, even if you think you didn't successfully kosher your oven for Pesach, but there would still be no problem. So he said, Enachinami, that's right in Cheshbon. Chametz is a chamor and mashu and the like, and that's why we don't do it. So maybe, I don't know if that answers your question. Maybe Enachinami. Rav Moshe, he was sort of assuming that Rav Moshe's mahalich for ovens is somewhat illogical and within the realm of chumr of Pesach. But I hear. I have to think more about your question. I like it.
Why is Zeya leaving Kav? That's official.
So it's not clear, but that happens to be Rav Moshe's view also. Well, we'll talk about steam when we get there. But yeah, in other words, it's not Eish. It's water. We'll see. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about steam. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about steam. We'll get there. Okay. So, yeah.
If I roast something dairy one day, and the next day I cook something meat.
Okay.
In the pot. So how would one have to be mashed in the pot?
So now it's Yisur Bala. So you're asking a very interesting question. You're saying maybe I should do Hagalah because of Ein HaNesar, right? That's your question. You're saying we'll talk about it. You're saying like this. Saying, let's say I do Hagalah, so when I do Hagalah, I'm going to get 100% of the milk out. There is blios of, you said it, you roast, it's a milchig pot that you wanted fleishiks. And you roasted milk, but you only cooked fleishiks. So when you do Hagalah, you'll get 100% of the fleishig blios out. You'll get 100% of the milchig blios out. You won't get the fleishig blios out. And didn't those fleishig blios become basar b'chalav, right? So it'll depend. If you learn, like the Rashba...
No,
that, I don't remember what I forgot.
You roasted...
It's a milchig pot?
It's a milchig
pot. And
I roasted
milk in it. And I cooked fleishig.
I cooked fleishig.
Good.
Right.
So now... So it goes like this, right?
Further in than
right.
The
so now, fleishig. Now though l'chora, when you cook the fleishiks, all the blios became bas b'chalav, right? Even the deep, right? Well, we'll talk about this in a second, but I'll point it out now. There's an interesting. Why is it that Hagalah doesn't work for something that needs liban? So there's two ways you could think about it. One is, and this might be a machlokas rishonim. We'll talk about where you see it. It's machlokas rishonim a little later, but two ways to see it. One way is that the blios that Al Yedei HaEish go in further. And the second possibility, which to me would be the more intuitive approach, is that they just become more entrenched. One way or the other, in this case, so you roasted milk in. Now when you cook your meat, so all the blios of milk, let's say, become fleishiks. And certainly, the blios of milk that are more entrenched, right, will become... So now, when you go do, so those blios are now basar b'chalav, right? Now you do Hagalah. The Hagalah will succeed in taking out all the fleishig blios, but the milchig entrenched blios will remain. So now, those milchiks, you could say, that won't help, because those milchik entrenched blios have now become basar b'chalav, and they're going to stay in. And that's what I think the Ran would say. Because the Ran would say that, look, you're right, you removed 100% of fleshik blios. There's no fleshik blios here at all. Let's assume for the moment that Hagala succeeds in taking out all blios that bow al yidei mayim. So you've removed 100% of the fleshik blios. But the milchik blios that were ba that entered al yidei ha'esh are still there, and they've been turned into bas b'chalav. So therefore, according to the Ran, you're stuck. However, if you learn like the Rashba, that's inser balua, even bas b'chalav, so we'll say, so since all the basar left, it would remain, it would be mutter. So if you learn like the Shach, l'char it should be aser. If you learn like the Taz, and the Beis Yosef, then it should be mutter, right? There's another tzad, maybe lahakel a little bit, if you, because if you hold like the Ramban, that there's no blios, there's no chanan in pure blios. Meaning to say that the blios, I mean, there will be basar b'chalav in the pot, but that for sure comes out al yaday the hagala. And Elamai, you're worried about Hanan in those entrenched blios. So that's, if you learn like the Ramban, that there's no basar, there's no Hanan in basar b'chalav, you should be okay. So l'chora, your question would depend on the Rashba and Ramban. Rashba and Ran machlokas. So the Chazanish was make it like the Rashba. The Badei HaShulchan quotes it, so maybe it could be make it.
According to the first shot of like roasting that the Leos go even deeper, so then why would those...
Then it would be even more tzad l'hakel.
Right.
Because then the shallow blios were entirely removed, and the deeper blios never even became bas b'chalav at all.
Right.
So there'd be even more room to be mekel. But I was saying, even if you assume the entrenched approach, which I think is the simpler approach, we would make that assumption. Okay. Let's talk about, what time is it? Let's talk about knives. We'll try knives. So again, we already mentioned the sources on knives. We'll just chazer quickly, right? So the Gemara Pesachim Lamed Amud Beis says that originally it thought you needed to do libun on the knife, and then you need to do hagala on the handle, right? And the maskana is idiv idiv beroschin. It was a conversation, right? I'll just read the Gemara. Amar Ravina Lavashi Hani Sakina Bepischa Hechi Abdinan Lahu. So Ravashi said, I buy new knives for Pesach. Amrlei Tenach Mar, you're rich. What about people who can't afford to buy new knives? What should they do on Pesach? She says, well, I don't actually buy new knives, but I do this chap, where I cover over the handle, and I do libun on the blade, and then I do hagala on the handle. And the Gemara concludes, Hilchos ha'idi b'idi b'roschin uvekli rishon. So l'maisa, all you need is hagala. So the Rishonim argue, why is it that Hagala works for the blade? And for that matter, we have to figure out why it is that, what exactly was even the Havamina of the Gemara. So according to, just to review, according to Tosos and the Ravid, Chametz is Hetera Bala, and that's why Hagala works L'maskana on the blade. Maybe the Havamina was a Tzisura Bala, but Lamaskana Hagala works on the blade. But other Rishonim don't hold of Hetera Bala, right? For example, the Rif paskins the din of Shvod and Askelos in Hilchos Pesach and the Rush. Right? So obviously they don't hold of Hetera Bala, it would seem. At least that's the Diuk of the Ran. So what's the other answer? So the Ran says that the knife is mutter b'hagala because rov tashmisho is lo al yidei ha'or. Good. So the Magen Avraham, Sifkat and Vav, writes that there's a whole discussion here in the Magen Avraham and the Taz, how to be miyashev the stira. On the one hand, the Gemara says you could do Hagala, and in the Piyot, the Paitan says you should get new ones. But after that whole discussion, the Rama writes that according to, sorry, the Magen Avraham Sivkat and Vav writes that according to the Rama in Siv Vav, that we don't follow Rov Tashmish, and we also follow the opinion according to the Rama that Chametz is Isura Bala. So then it comes out that you need to do Liban on a knife. That's what the final line of the Magen Avraham says. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger, more or less the Prima Gadim, ask an obvious question, which is, okay, the Magen Avraham's Cheshbon makes a lot of sense, but it's against the Gemara. There's the Gemara, and the end of the day, bottom line, says what? You could use Haggalah on a knife. And so you have to come up with an answer. So you'll either say, we're Mako for Rov Tashmishan, or you'll say, it's Hetera Bala. Whatever you say, there has to be some explanation of the Gemara. And, because the Gemara says you could do Haggalah. And the Magen Avraham's Chumra is basically to Paskin against the Gemara. So they're Mako. They say, Al Karchenu, you'll have to give one of the two answers. And therefore, Memela, you could do Haggalah on a knife, assuming that it was only rarely used Al Yadei Ha'or. Oh, can't be more from than the Gemara. And basically, if it's Tarti Lativusa, then it would be okay. The other interesting thing is, so again, the Magen Avraham and the Taz both bring the Paitan down that ideally one should get new knives, and why that is, so the Magen Avraham and the Taz have their own way of justifying it a little bit. The Taz has a very interesting reading of the Gemara in which there are three different levels of Chumra and the like. But one of the reasons why the Poskim say that one should get new knives for Pesach, even if they kasher all their other things, is because of the cracks and the crevices from the and the handle and the like. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, based off of these sources, that even though l'chora, there's no chumra not to rely on Haggalah for most things, for a couple of things, ideally, if someone could afford it, they should get new for Pesach. So one of them is knives. I saw some poskim, contemporary poskim, say, yeah, nowadays that, you know, we have a lot of money and things are so cheap, you should never do Haggalah and just get everything new for Pesach. I thought that was very big chumrah, because, again, we find certain cases where the Mishnah Berurah says it's best to be machmir to get new ones, like a knife, or like glass teacups, or the like. But generally speaking, it sounds like there's nothing wrong with relying on Haggalah. If you want to bother, there's no mitzvah to, if you don't want to bother, you could get new things. But if you wanted to do Haggalah, it doesn't sound like it's a problem. Now, there's a bit of a stira just in terms of the Hachra, the Mishnah Berurah, on knives, because, again, the Rama in Siv Vav is Machmir for Ramiya Tashmisho. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Mem Ches, he writes, V'hu adin im yesh lachosh shenishtamish bo lefamim al yedei or tzarch libun dafko v'libun kal. But in Yud Tes about sakinim, he writes, Kevan sheyesh omrim shafilu kelim habluim yichamit al yedei or bilvad nami ein tzarch hagala v'gam kama poskim somchim sovrim de samchin de sakinin ein lahem din kelim ablum al yedei ha'or lefika chetir lechatchila al yedei hagala bilvad. So basically in Mem Ches he writes that we're not somech on Tarti Lativusa, we're not somech on Hatera Bala plus Rov Tashmish, but Legabe Sakinim in Sif Katan Yud Tes, he's Mako with that Tziruf. I don't know, maybe he thought that you can't be more from than a Gemara. So for knives, we'll rely on that Tziruf, but not for other things, even though it's the same Tziruf, right? So I don't know how to be miyashev that Stira. Now, one interesting final Ha'ara on knives, and the next time, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll begin with the frying pans. The Mishnah on Ayin Hamad Beis says the rules of Hechsher, right? halokech klei tashm in avodah zarah, halokech klei tashm in avodah kochavim, esher darko lahat bil yatvil, lahagil yagil, lalabin b'or, yalabin b'or, hashvod v'azkalav lam me'or, and hasakin shafa vi tahora. So all you need to do is basically sharpen your knife. Now, it sounds like you don't need anything else. You don't even need liban, you don't even need hagala when you read the Mishnah Kepshuto. So most mefarshim say, no, that's not true. It means that you should also sharpen it to get rid of the blio, the pekimos, and the holes and the crevices that have been and the like. But of course you need a real hechsher on your knife. But Rabbi Willig pointed out in the Am Mordechai on Moadim that if you look at the Rambam in Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Gimel, and Halacha Zayin, a very interesting thing emerges. It sounds like the Rambam reads the Mishnah Kepshuto, that all you need to do is sharpen the knife. Why would that be? Well, what would sharpening do? It would take off the outer surface. Now, if you look at the Rambam, how he describes Liban, it also sounds like, he doesn't quote the Nitzotzo shear. He quotes the shear of Yasir Klipaso. And the Rambam sounds like that is how Liban works. In other words, the effectiveness of Liban is that when you do Liban, it removes the outer layer. Now, you'll say, well, what does that help? Okay, Bishlam, I got rid of the outer layer, but the middle of the kli, or in the case of the knife when that you sharpen, the middle of the knife is full of blio shalisser, or chametz. Why is it that removing the outer layer suffices? So if Willig suggested, that's because the Rambam held that when you do tzli, how much does tzli aser? Tzli aser is only a klipa. So when you remove that outer klipa, so mevela, it's kosher. Now if you learn that this is the pshat, so then according to Rambam, self-cleaning ovens wouldn't work for libud, right? Why? Because it doesn't remove the outer layer. Because it's nothing to do with the temperature, it doesn't have to do with esh, blios nisrafim b'makomam. It has to do with simply, like the Gemara actually, when you read a Kepshuto, sounds like that. How does Hagala work? How does Liban work? Removing the outer layer. So self-cleaning ovens wouldn't help. Willig said, though, we don't pass him like that Rambam. L'hakel l'hachmir. Varaya, we say that it's not enough to just sharpen your knife. You need to actually kasher it. And therefore self-cleaning ovens would work. But it's an interesting... Kedarach Shal Rambam. When you read the Gemara Kepshuto, it really comes out a whole new perspective on matters. Okay, so I guess Monday, Be'ezras Hashem, we will pick up on, start talking about frying pans. I don't know, we really have two more weeks, right? So I'm not sure, we really have to finish Haggalah, Hechsher Kalim, next week. So we could have a week on Tfilas Kalim. So I don't know what to tell you in terms of how practically to do that, but you'll have to figure out a way yourself. I don't know how I'm going to do it, actually, because at the rate that we're going on, we're also not going to finish on time. So I don't know. But do what you can to make sure that you're able to finish Hilchos Hechsher Kalim by the end of next week.